Aaron was preaching at me a little bit right there. Preaching at some of you too. God's hand's on your life. I said his hand is on your life. You might be a contractor, you might be a plumber, you might be a carpenter, you might be a factory worker, but God's hand is on your life. You might be a mom, you might be a stay-at-home mom, and God's hand is on your life in a particular way. You might be a young man, you might say, I don't know what all this means. The hand of the Lord is on your life. As you walk in his precepts and in his ways, his hand becomes stronger and stronger on you. Would you say amen this morning? I didn't say it in the first service, and I apologize. It's very important to me to mention, but my parents are taking the weekend off, and I'm so grateful that they're able to do that. I'm just a backup hitter this morning. Would you give my hand a big parents a big hand this morning? Aren't you thankful for them? Amen. I want to do something before we start. It really struck me this week. If you've heard of Dream City Church, there's actually 5 campuses now, some 50,000 members. Pastor Tommy Barnett has been a voice into my dad's life for many, many years. My father spoke to Pastor Tommy this week in length on the phone, and Pastor Luke and his daughter decided to take an 800-mile hike. How many of you know they need prayer for that thought? But they got about halfway through that hike, and a boulder the size of a car came rolling down the hill and hit Pastor Luke. It broke his hip, broke his leg, broke his arm, 50, 60 stitches in his head. It hurt him pretty bad. That's a huge ministry, and I know there's a ton of great leaders there, but I'll tell you, that's a tough thing to face, and I just want to pray for him. Can we do that? Are we the body of Christ? Can we just pray for a pastor somewhere else? Just stretch your hand, even if he's as though he's standing up here. Father, we pray for Pastor Luke this morning. We pray for Pastor Tommy. We pray for the whole Barnett family, that your hand would be on them. Father, that you would continue the work you've started in them. Father, that great things would come. Father, that you've orchestrated. Your word says that you order the steps of the righteous. So today, Father, in Jesus' name, we speak healing to his body, clarity to his spirit, encouragement to his mind this morning. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Amen. I begin to think this week, in the last 2 weeks, about what I would share, and it's such a journey. You know, you're trying to hear the voice of the Lord, and for those of you that minister, and even in a small group, you know, you try to pay very close attention. You know, this morning when I was walking out of the house, we got a kitten, and the kitten came up, sat on my foot, and pooped on my sock, and I thought, man, is that you speaking to me or something? And this week I began to hear this thought. I came in last Sunday and Ray was playing this song. Oh, take me back, back, all the way back. Oh, take me back to my first love. And that's so counter to what we've been taught, isn't it? Many times we're taught, just go forward, just put your head down and just keep plowing. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? Just fight through. Just get to the other side. And that's so true. I mean, we have to keep going. You know, we have to progress. We can't give up. But I think there's times in our lives where we have to pause and we have to consider. This scripture in Revelation 2, it describes it so well. It says these words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. How many of you know who that is? His name is Jesus. And it says these words. It says, I know your deeds. You know that you can run from God. You can hide from God. You can get mad at God. You can get frustrated with his people. But he knows your name. It goes on to say this, I know your hard work, your perseverance. He knows it, folks. It says these words, I know you can't tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You've persevered and endured hardship for my name's sake. I got to pause there, and I got to say this to you. I'm a young man, but I talk to men and women that are 70, 80, 90 years old. They've never seen a season like this. I ask them, have you ever experienced anything like this ever before? They said, no, I've never, Ryan, we've never seen anything like this. You know, with Corona, with the economy, with an election. They said, we've never seen anything like this. You've endured hardship. If I don't say anything else, you did it. You've endured it. You've persevered. And it says these words. It says, and you have not grown weary. But it says these words, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And here's the fix. Here's the fix this morning. We're going to visit this just for a second. It says, consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you first did. I didn't write the words. If you repent, I will come. If you don't repent, I'll come and remove your lampstand. I come in, so I'm reading the scripture. I come in on Thursday night, and Aaron begins to minister this message on the light. On the light that we carry, on who God is within us. And that our light matters. You know your light matters. You know, I can preach this morning, and I can minister this morning, but really, when you walk out that door, your light matters. She had him turn the light off, and we all held our phone. You've seen that before. You've been in a concert with all the lights, and go back and watch the message. It's amazing. All the lights represented in this room, your light matters. It makes a difference. So this morning, just for a few minutes, I ask you to consider this. Have you lost your light? Has your light dimmed? Did you lose your light along the way? Did the path, did the journey that you've taken, did the course of your life, did it leave you in a place where you left what you first knew? I want to minister this morning from the subject, how to get your light back. The good news is this. You can get your light back. You say, Ryan, I feel dead. I feel blind. I feel like I've lost my vision. I feel like I've lost my dream. Have you ever been in a low place in life where you just felt blah? I think we've all been there. I think we've all experienced it. I think that's why it's so important for us to pray for one another. Even to pause and pray for Pastor Luke this morning. Imagine the feeling. Imagine the thought. All that responsibility. Boom. Pause. You can get your light back, though. And the God of the light pauses in this scripture. He stops. Pauses everything. He brings us to a screeching halt in this scripture. You've done great. You've persevered. You've kept going. But hold on just a second. Don't leave that first love. Would you bow your heads? Would you grab a hand if you live with that person next to you? Father, in Jesus' name this morning, do what you do so well. You bring light to the darkness. Your name is light, that the shadows, that the corners can't deny, that the darkness, the demons tremble at that name, at that light, the name of Jesus. That every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Father, the light of our salvation, the light of our lives, your name is Jesus, and we thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, would you say amen this morning? Amen. I want to say that I'm extremely thankful for that prophetic message on Thursday night. And I want to visit 2 Samuel chapter 6 just for a moment. And many of you are, you don't have to turn to it if you don't want to. If you'd like to, you're welcome. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 8. And the word says this: Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And on that day, the place is called Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. And I just want to pause for a second, and I want to say this. The first thing this scripture says is that David got angry at the Lord. You ever been there? You ever been frustrated? You ever been mad at God? Some of you are nodding your head, yes, I'm glad I'm not alone. You've been mad at God because he didn't do it the way you thought he should do it. It didn't happen the way you thought it should happen. The journey went down through the valley. The journey went down through the stream. It went the back road. Instead of just taking the high, just give me the high road, Lord. Let me just take the highway all the way there. He took you down the back road. And you got angry at God. And that's where David is. David sees something in his own mind. He conceives something a way he thinks it should happen. And God does it a different way. And we could all put our fingers on that in our lives. God does it a different way. And the scripture describes an anger. And I want to pause for just a second. Be careful the decisions you make when you get angry. Be careful when you have fits of rage. Pause in that moment and realize I can make a bad decision in a moment of anger that I can't take back. Husbands, pause before you react. I've talked to many men before. If I could only take that back. If I could only take those words, if I could only take that action back, if I could only take that back, I would do it. I swear to you, people I've met that have gone to prison and jail, they said to me, if I could only just have paused in that moment and thought through this thing, I was mad in the moment, and the cost is so much more than the moment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And David experiences this moment. He comes into this moment. God doesn't do what he wants him to do in this moment. And follow me for a minute. The ark was a representation of God's presence in that day. Like this morning, you come in here and we begin to sing about the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And it's true. His goodness is running after you. But how many of you know you can run from it? You can run from God's presence. You can run from God's people. Listen, I've been around church and people my whole life, and I've watched people run from his presence. Forget from people, just from his presence. What a wonderful opportunity it is every time we're able to worship together. Micah, you played that bass like an animal this morning. The whole band. Wonderful opportunity to enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving and your attitude, your perspective. At 7:30 this morning, Garrett mentioned it, as it began to practice, I felt the presence of God move into this room because of praise. David makes this decision. He says, no, I'm going to put God in a corner. And the scripture goes on to say that he leaves the ark at a friend of his at his house. And he says these words. It says these words. He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom. Don't ever call your kid that. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the Lord, listen to these words. So simple, so plain, so direct. It says, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. How many of you know that's a gift, right? And I believe that happens in life. when people say, no, I don't want God's presence, I don't want his moving, God all of a sudden begins to move in other people. Oh, I could preach that. I could wrap my arms around that. I've seen people leave God's presence and say, I'm going to punish God because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. And all the while, what are they doing? They're punishing themselves. Because God began, he continues to bless. He changes not. He continues to bless. He continues to move. He continues to minister. And this guy, Obed-Edom, I guarantee he's clicking his feet together. Oh, thank God the Ark of the Covenant is with me. Thank God that it's in this place, because the scripture says that it blessed him and his entire household. Do you know that his presence will bless you and your entire household? When you begin to worship, when you begin to praise God, when you begin to engage in his presence, all of a sudden the blessing of the Lord is on his life in a significant way. You might not even realize it. There's someone in here this morning, you don't even realize what his presence is doing in your life, but you will. You'll all of a sudden look back and go, man, I remember where I was, and look where I am now. It's because of his presence moving in your life. I don't want to go to church. My mother's making me go. I don't want to go to church. My father's making me go. But then all of a sudden, you get down the road, 30, 31, 36, 37. You say, I'm so glad to get into the Lord's house. Get out of my way. I want to be the first one there and the last one to leave his presence. Because of the impact that it makes in a life. Let me just say this to a parent. My dad and mom dragged us into the house of the Lord. My dad was a big man when we were younger. You know, he was a big guy. And he was, right? He was bigger then, trust me. And he dragged us into the Lord's house. And we come in with attitudes. We come in, I don't want to be here. These people are phonies. These people are idiots. I'm telling you the truth now, because I want you to have this witness in your heart when your kids start kicking and screaming to say, get out the door. We're going to the house of the Lord. Because they don't realize as children what the Lord does in his presence in their life. And all of a sudden, I love in verse 12, it says these words, now David the king was told, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. You know what this means? It means he had some guys like you, Steve, around. And let's just use your name. Somebody was there and they went like this. They got 3 months down the road, the scripture says. And a guy like Steve turned and said, hey, Ryan, you know that ark, that the presence of the Lord that you left over at Obed-Edom's house, the blessing that you're supposed to have is over at that house. You think you should go get it back? He pauses in that moment, and he listens to the people that God has put in his life for a significant moment, and guess what David does? David is a king. David is a ruler. David has plenty of people to say, hey, man, go get that ark for me. Bring it back over to my crib. I need that blessing back. No, but that's not what the scripture describes as David doing. This is what the scripture describes David doing. He goes back to Obed-Edom's house himself. You know what that walk is like? Let me just put it to you plain. Sometimes you leave some things and you lose when you leave them, and all of a sudden the walk of shame is kind of tough to go get it back. He starts taking the humble pie walk back to God's presence. And I don't know who's watching this morning, and I don't know who's listening this morning, but I'll tell you, when you leave God's presence, when you leave his house, when you leave his people, sometimes there's a little bit of a humble pie walk back to his presence to get back the blessing you once had on your life. You know what I feel bad for? This is what I feel bad for. I'm 36 years old. I'm talking to people that are twice my age, and they say, hey, they come up to me in church. Hey, man, you know who I am? I have no idea who you are, but God bless you. It's nice to meet you. No, 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 no. When you were a kid, I knew you. I came to church with you. I worshiped with you. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember who you are. I don't even recognize you, but I remember who you are now. And they say things like this to me. Remember this. Let this leave an imprint on your heart and on your spirit. What the heck was I thinking? What was I doing leaving his presence? What was I even considering in that moment where I got angry and left his presence? And all of a sudden they come back. And the scripture says this in Psalm 16. It says, in his presence there is fullness of joy. Look at that. And at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. And let me just point out to you, you make known the path of my life. If you want to know what God's vision is for your life, if you want to know what his path is for you, your life, it's the illumination of his light in your life that says, this is who you are. This is what you're called to be. This is what you're to do. Young man, young woman listening to me right now, a job won't do it. A girl won't do it. A guy won't do it. Your parents won't do it. I'm sorry, parents. But Jesus is his name. He is the light of the world, and he is the illumination of vision and dreams and your future and your destiny. When you rest in that light, all of a sudden, it becomes so clear who you are. And I've left that illumination. You're talking to a guy that has left that illumination before. Just take it from me. Don't feel the pain. Just learn it from a teacher this morning. Don't leave his presence. Tell somebody next to you, don't leave his presence. If you want your light back, hear this morning. If you want your light back, how many of you want the light? You want the light of salvation. If you want your light back, go back to his presence. Well, Ryan, how do I do that? You know, when I was a boy, I loved worship so much. I'd take the communion bread. I didn't eat any breakfast in the morning. I'd take the loaf of communion bread and eat that for breakfast, and I'd sit off to the side of the stage. Yeah, big roll of bread right in the sanctuary, and I'd sit there gnawing off on it like a hillbilly, listening to God move in his house, even in a practice. I would do whatever I had to do to be in his presence, and you can sense it. You can feel it. You can draw to it because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Number one, if you want your light back, you got to get back in his presence. If you leave his presence, you lose the light. You don't hear anything else I say this morning. When you leave his presence, now you know what the light is. Now you've been taught what the light is, what the light of your life is. Now you know it. When you leave it, you'll know it. All of a sudden you go, man, I just don't feel right. I just feel discouraged. I feel blind. You're right. You are blind because you left the lampstand that's described in Revelations 2. Real simple, isn't it? Wow, it's good. Number one, if you've lost the light, go back to it. And as a society, I didn't say this in the first service, as a society, we've left Jesus. We have left modesty. We have left the fear of God. And ultimately, we have left the light of God. That's what you're seeing. We need to go back to prayer. We need to go back to modesty. We need to go back to men praying. All the men would pray. We need to go back to dad sitting in the room with a Bible open and the spectacles on, learning and reading and engaging in the things of God. Go back to my first love. You can't leave the precepts of God and not lose. It might take you some time. Let me just say this to you. You might go out. You might have a good time for a while. Oh, I just feel different. But in a little while, take it from me. Hear this morning. In a little while, you'll lose. Begin to practice His presence. Number one, if you want your light back, if you want that fire back, if you want the vision back, get back to His presence. Number two, are you ready for it? If you want your light or fire back, this one's going to be real popular. Begin to walk in the disciplines of a disciple. You know what the root word of disciple is? Discipline. And society hates it. You're lame. You know, Aaron talked about you're weird. You're just weird, man. I am weird. Truthfully, I've always been weird. I've always felt like a little bit of an outcast. I'm speaking to somebody right. I've always felt like I didn't fit in quite right. I just didn't fit in the mold. I didn't fit in every group. I just always felt like I was a little on the outside until the Lord began to illuminate me. I didn't call you to walk like everybody else walked. I called you to walk in the disciplines of a disciple. And you know what? There's been times where I've gone off on a back road, side road, wrong term, but all of a sudden I started down that back road and I felt that weary feeling in my soul saying, get back to me. Samson was supposed to follow three disciplines. You know this. Don't touch anything dead. Don't shave your head. No offense, Chuck. Don't drink alcohol. Just having fun. Don't drink any alcohol. And then there was one last unwritten rule. Honor your father and your mother. He ends up marrying this chick that his parents said, dude, what are you doing? If your mother ever tells you that, listen. He does these four disciplines. And you know what he ends up doing? He just inches. Just little by little, outside of those disciplines. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't do it all in one day. You just looked at that thing just a little bit. All I want to do is, I just want one beer. And I don't even care if you drink, but if you're an alcoholic, don't drink. I want to take one hit. And it's a slow fade, and all of a sudden you gave yourself away. You know that song? That's a good song. If you leave discipline, you lose. Discipline is love. Discipline is grace. Discipline is resisting racism. Discipline is forgiveness. Discipline is showing up to church even though you don't feel like it. You know how many times I don't feel like coming to church? Oh, that shit, honey, just make me some French toast and let me watch online. You know what I'm talking about. And you know what I'm talking about, too, especially. If you leave discipline in your marriage, which is communication, you leave intimacy. Men, you want intimacy back? Get back to talking. Get back to flowers. There is a process to intimacy with God the Father and with your family. You want a great family? Get some disciplines. Take it from people who have learned. Man, our Bible study, I'm getting ahead of myself, but our Bible study Wednesday night, you want to talk about boom. You want to talk about a move of the Holy Ghost. You want to talk about learning some disciplines. We're reading a book right now. It's called Soul Detox by Craig Rochelle. Man, you want to talk about real stuff, men crying. I'm not talking about weak men. I'm not talking about handsy-pansy men. I'm talking about big, strong, Bill Fox kind of men. You know what I'm talking about. Big dudes sitting together. Discussing disciplines that God has commanded in lives. that lead to this prosperity of a great family. You want a great family? You can lift all the weight you want to. You can run all you want. You can eat right all you want to. None of that stuff will lead you on the pathway of a great family. You know what will? God's word in your life. You know what else will? Prayer in your life. You know what else will? A men's study in your life. You know what else will? Celebrate recovery on Tuesday night. Getting around some people that love the Lord and love the precepts of God and holiness and modesty and righteousness before the Lord. Doesn't it sound fun to you? Sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it's not the cool thing to do. But I'm going to tell you, you want long-term happiness. You'll get some disciplines in your life. If you leave the process of a great family, I'm going to be done in 5 minutes. You will leave love. I got to say that I am so, Sam and I have just had the best time lately, haven't we? Man, we've just had just off the charts, just fun together and just flirting and giddiness. And I begin to think about it. What the heck has changed? You know what's changed? You want to have a real transparent moment? You know what's changed? I'll be the first one, dads. If you want that blessing, go back to the process. Business people understand this. I went to my brother's dealership. I was out there, had a meeting in Gettysville this week, and I stopped at my brother's dealership, and I was just sitting there just chit-chatting with him. This young man came back in, and he says, "Listen, young man, I want to talk to you. You know, our process is we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this. We don't go right to asking for the sale. We don't go right to asking for the blessing. We do some things. We lay some groundwork. We give some things before we get the sale." Man, that struck me. It's the same thing in our lives. We have to give to something before we get from something. Can't go straight to the anointing. You can't go straight to power. You can't go straight to a blessing. There has to be a devotion to it. Number one, if you want your light back, go to the presence of God. Number two, if you want your light back, get some disciplines. You have that book up there, and I'm done on point two. Put that book up there. I just read this book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God Changes a Life. If you need help in this area, get this book. It's a powerful book. Number three, are you ready for it? You want the light back in your life? Go back to family. Touched on it just a little bit, but I'm going to bring it into context a little bit more. The family of God brings a stability to your life, to your marriage, and to your children that you can't provide on your own. I get a little discouraged, and I know there's a few men in the house. You know, I got to say it. My brother Ben Martin, Brad, Micah. Man, these guys, Jim Booty. I can look around Jeff, Tosher, all these men around the church, Steve Vineyard, all these guys that I've exposed myself to and led myself to. If I get a little discouraged, they just throw a little gas on you, Chuck Vendetti. Oh, you did a great job, man. It's time for the next one. There's a stability in the family of God that you won't find elsewhere. And if you've lost your light, consider going back to the house of God. There are people, and forgive me, I don't mean this in an abrasive sense at all. There are people that have used COVID to leave the body of Christ. Oh, I don't want to get sick. But the real reason is I'm mad. I'm bitter. I'm hurt. And I want to encourage you, that's the quickest way to throw water on your light. Get your light back by getting back with the family of God. And even if you don't start by coming to church on Sunday mornings, find a connect group and get involved. You know the story of the prodigal son. He leaves his father's house. He leaves the farm. But most importantly, he leaves his family. You know, this is my family. The people that are sitting in this room, you are my family. If I need something, I'm calling you. You need something, you're calling me. Trust me, I know. And that's what family's all about. The prodigal son leaves, and he's got his bling bling for a second. I got my roll, man. I got my car, man. I got my stuff, bro. I'm on the road. He never considered that he was leaving something, and when he left it, he'd lose. He finds himself in the pig's pen of life. The scripture describes it. And guess who wrote this parable? Jesus is his name. He gets in the pig pen of life with a bunch of pigs. You might catch it later. When we leave family, we end up in the pig pen with a bunch of... And all of a sudden he has this, such a time as this moment. And he says, the scripture says he came to himself. He comes to himself. He says, even my servants have it better than I do. He heads back to the family. Someone at home right now. You might listen to this later. Get back to the family of God. Go to Monday night Bible study. Go to Arts Bible study. Go to CAD. Get involved in a study. And watch God move. This is my favorite part of the whole message. He's on his way back. And the scripture says the father was afar off. With open arms, with an open heart, he welcomes him back to the family. And this morning, I felt of the Holy Ghost to tell you, welcome home. You're welcome to the family of God. You know, you might need to help somebody. You might need to be like the prodigal son's father. You might say to somebody, you know what? All the mistakes, don't worry about it. There's no judgment. There's no ridicule. There's no problem. We love you. Just come on back to the Father's house. Come on back to the family farm. How many of you know we're in the family farm this morning? And we'll accept you back just like the Father did. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you welcome us back with open arms, with an open heart, just willing to say, you're welcome back to the Father's house. We give you glory this morning. We give you praise. You know what? If you say, Ryan, I've lost that light. I need that light back. Just stand up right now as a sign to God the Father. If that's you, just stand up right where you are. That's it, young man. That's it, sir. Father, in Jesus' name, we call them back to the family of God. We speak to a heart. We speak to a spirit. We speak to a mind, forgiveness and grace and the mercy that you've shown each one in this place. We thank you for it. Let your blessing be felt in every heart and every life. Be glorified. Be honored in the midst of us in Jesus' name. Come on, would you give the Lord one more praise this morning? When the storm's out, come on, stand. On the ocean and the violent wind gets the blow. You say, oh, take me back, back, all the way back. Oh, take me back to my first when the storm's out on the ocean and the violent wind gets to blowing. Oh, take me now. You sing it. We're so glad you've been with us this morning. God bless you. We'll see you real soon. Have a great day, folks.